Thanks, John. Well, I was thinking we've given out some awards to the children, but I think there's one or two awards we need to give out because there were some tremendous performances in the coaches and parents matches yesterday. And I heard of somebody in the netball who was popping them in for fun. And one of her sons didn't even stay to watch. Oh, that was Jenny. Jenny, come on down and get a sugar strand. And while Jenny's making her way down here, I think she scored 4 or 5 and, yeah, turned it completely around for the parents. Well done, Jenny. There's someone else who I think has taken quite a bit of stick this morning. The last time he was mentioned so much in a Sports Reach service, he went away, got engaged and got married. I do say I think some of the stick was deserved, but you've been told to sharpen up, Ben. Take this home, save it before the coach's parents next year, then take it just before the kickoff. You'll be so much sharper. Well done, Ben. You see, the thing about Ben that you know is he's a garlic. And they can take it because they give it. Now, I wondered last year, the first time in the service, and it was repeated this year, knocking the balls about in the opening songs. And I thought, why? Why are we doing that? What's going on? And then this morning, it came to me. I had a flashback. Do you know what a flashback is? Where you remember something that had happened. And it was like a flashback. And I remembered that last year, Andy, Mr. Andrew Garlic, got used to seeing the ball going over his head. I think if memory serves me right, it was 3 times in a match. Andy was in goal and he got lobbed 3 times by the same player whom modesty prevents me from saying who it was. And I thought, yeah, that's why the balls are being knocked about in church. Andy's remembering and reminding me of that great occasion. So Andy, up you come and get an award. Really, we should be giving Joe all the sugar strands with those men she has to deal with. You're a saint, Joe Garlic, you're a saint. Brilliant. I just want to read a couple of verses of scripture and some of my favourite verses that are found in Romans. And verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone will die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. I want to share a couple of my passions with you this morning. And the first passion I want to share with you, I want to take you back to a Wednesday evening in March. It was probably cold and wet because it was in Lancashire. And to Anfield, March 1977. I know I can't take some of you guys back to 1977, but some of the guys here I can certainly take Tim back to 1977 and probably quite a lot further. March 1977, it was one of those famous European nights at Anfield. And Liverpool were in the European Cup. This is before it became the Champions League. It was when you had to win your league to qualify. And Liverpool, 2 weeks earlier, had played against the French champions, Saint-Étienne. And they'd lost 1-0. They'd come to Anfield 2 weeks later, and the score on the night was 2-1 to Liverpool with 20 minutes left. And as it stood, the score was 2-2 overall, and away goals would mean that Saint-Étienne would go through. 20 minutes to go, and Bob Paisley, who was manager at the time, he turned to a young 20-year-old, red-headed, curly-haired youth, sat on the bench, and he said, yeah, it wasn't Anna, he said to David Fairclough, he sent him on. David Fairclough was as I say, 20 years old. He'd made his debut for Liverpool a couple of seasons before. He'd played that season 14 games, 9 of them as a substitute, and he'd scored 7 goals. Davy Fairclough came on as the substitute that night. With 6 minutes left on the clock, he scored. And Liverpool went on not just to win the tie, but they went on to win the European Cup, scoring, beating Borussia Mönchengladbach 3-2. I remember it well. And that was when this night was when my passion for Liverpool Football Club was really, really begun. But when he scored that goal, Gerald Sinstat, how many of you remember Gerald Sinstat, the commentator? Yeah, and Gerald Sinstat quoted that famous phrase. He said, "Super sub strikes again. Super sub strikes again." And that was a nickname that David Fairclough got that never ever left him. He became famous as a substitute. He never ever established himself as a regular in the Liverpool first team. To be fair to the lad, he had ahead of him Kevin Keegan and John Toshack, and then Kenny Dalglish and Ian Rush, so he was going to struggle. But he was famous as a substitute. In his Liverpool career, he scored 55 goals, 35 of which were scored in the last 30 minutes, 18 of which were scored coming on as a substitute. And I can remember in the seasons that followed, when Liverpool were up against it and we needed a goal, the crowd would chant for Super Sub to be brought on to come and score a goal to change the game. There's other subs we could mention. And Andy wouldn't forgive me if I didn't mention Ricky Villa coming on for Tottenham, scoring to win the FA Cup for Tottenham. I have to mention that. If I wasn't in church, I would mention that team that plays in Manchester in the red kit. Forgive me, some people have used bad language in church this morning. I won't. He actually was... Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was actually another, could be termed, super sub. But the phrase was coined for David Fairclough. Super sub, coming on and changing the game. And we've been looking this week at Game Changer. Substitutions change games. Substitutions change games. Change the outcome of the game. But we've looked this week at... How substitutes change games, different things that change games. That substitution actually changed history because Liverpool went on to win, as I said, the first of their 5 European Cups. I just need to get that in there. And changed so many things. And Liverpool Football Club are my passion. I love Liverpool Football Club. I was there watching on Thursday night against Dortmund, and I was excited to see them, you know, score, to see the game go on. I get excited about them. But another passion that I have is telling people about Jesus. Telling people about Jesus. Because you see, we've been looking at game changers, but we've been looking also at life changer and how Jesus changes lives. A substitute is somebody who takes the place of another. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to take the place of you and me. The Bible tells us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus came to die in our place. You know, we've probably had one of my most exciting times of the year, Easter, where we've remembered a couple of weeks ago that Jesus died on Good Friday. He gave his life for us on Good Friday. He died in our place. He took the place of another. And we remember that he laid down his life for you and for me. Easter Sunday, we remember that Jesus rose from the dead. He came back to life. And that's why we celebrate Easter Sunday, because Jesus rose. And we don't remember, there's no other historical figure I know of where we have a day where we remember that they came back to life. Jesus took our place, because our world and us aren't perfect, and we never ever will be. We needed somebody perfect to take our place. Jesus was the perfect substitute to take my place and your place. The introduction of David Fairclough changed the game. Jesus changes lives. The introduction of David Fairclough changed history for Liverpool Football Club. Jesus changed history. Our calendars, BC, AD. Jesus not only changes history, but he wants to change our futures. Because when we put our lives into his hands, he guarantees us eternal life. Because he rose from the dead. He came back to life. And Jesus wants to make a difference in your life and my life. If you ask David Fairclough, was he happy at being known as Super Sub? He might be now because he's famous, but he wasn't at the time. He never wanted to be known as substitute, Super Sub. He wanted to be on the first team. He wanted to be the first name on that team sheet. And Jesus wants to be first in your life and my life. You know, sometimes we wait while things go wrong. Sometimes we wait until something happens in our life and we begin then to say, well, God help me. But God wants to be first and foremost in your life and in my life. And he deserves to be because he gave his son in our place. He died in our place that we might live and we might have eternal life. My passion for Liverpool Football Club began in 1977. My passion for Jesus began as a 16-year-old. I knelt down one night and I said, Lord Jesus, I know I've done things that are wrong. I've said things that are wrong. I've thought things that are wrong. But I believe you died on the cross in my place. You took my place. And Lord Jesus, I want to say I'm sorry and I want to turn to you and put my life into your hands. Please forgive me. And as a young 16-year-old, Jesus came in and he changed my life. Because I not only grasped that he died for me, but I grasped the fact that he's risen from the dead. And that as a living Saviour, he came in and changed my life. And that's, I know you won't believe it, but I am older than Tim. And it is 33 years ago now since I prayed that prayer. And Jesus has never ever let me down once. I've never regretted it. Because he's given me purpose in life. He's given me peace. He's given me joy. He's given me love. And he's changed my life so much that I spend a lot of my time now going around, not just in England, but around the world telling people about Jesus. Because I know that he can change people's lives. Bob Paisley, manager at that time, had a choice to make. He only had that one substitute, David Fairclough. He couldn't choose from five like nowadays. He had that one substitute. Did he put that young substitute on to the field? He did. He had a choice to make and he chose to put him on the field. And I bet he is so glad that he did. You know, we have a choice to make. When we hear about Jesus, when we hear how much he loves us, when we hear what he's done for us, we've got that choice to make. Am I going to find out more about him? Am I going to look into it and see, is it true? Am I actually going to put my life into the hands of Jesus and ask him to change my life? And if you do, I can guarantee you'll never ever regret it. Jesus, the perfect, the only substitute, the one who is the life changer. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the fact that your word is true. Thank you, Father, that you speak into our hearts and lives through other people, through your word, the Bible. Thank you that we've been able to look this week at Game Changer, but also Life Changer. Thank you, Jesus, that you came to change lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you've changed my life. And so many of the people here have had their lives changed by Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would speak on into hearts and lives this morning. And that if there's any that you're speaking to this morning, any that are saying, yeah, I need to look into this. I need to come and to choose Jesus. Then I pray, Father, that this morning, before they leave, they come and talk with myself or some of the other coaches or Mark or Ed or Andy. And Father, they just come and want to find you. That they can go away with their lives changed. changed by Jesus, experiencing forgiveness, love, peace, joy, and new start. And we thank you that we find all this in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I just say before I hand back to Mark and the music group, if you want to know a little bit more, then out on the table there is some literature. It's all free. There's a booklet called Journey into Life, which will explain what it means to be a Christian and how to become a Christian. There's also a little booklet there that my wife, Sue, who's been down here many times, wrote earlier this year. It's called Cancer, Christ and Me. Because sometimes people think that, you know, you become a Christian, everything should go perfect. And often people, if they get an illness, they question, well, where is God? Why has he allowed that to happen to me? And my wife, Sue, put a booklet together writing about cancer, Christ and me, because when she was diagnosed with cancer, she found that God was even more real to her through that time than he ever had been before. And again, they'll be on the table there. Please feel free to help yourself to that literature and take it with you. And if you want to chat, please, please do come and talk to us. And we'll be happy to answer your questions and to help you. Well, thanks for a great weekend. Am I over to Mark or Chris or Mark? Or I love the way you put your new pasta in a glass box in the corner, by the way.